any means necessary to bring you to this night, because I know if I can get my friends to this night, not only will they be scared or whatsoever, you know, not only can they bring home a bunch of candies, because candies are awesome. You guys don't like candy? Too mature for candy? I mean, not this candy, but like candy, you know. It's candy-licious. That was awkward. Anyways, you know, but I want to... what is wrong? I want to encourage all of us, you know, to bring some friends, you know, to Friday night, because they can be here to encounter Jesus. Someone, if you agree, someone say, yeah. You know, and it's coming up on 31st of October, you know, so just jot it down in your calendar, grab some invite cards that we have outside at our information counter, and we're going to end this year, you know, strong. You know, how many of you, like what Joel said last week, you know, how many of you believe that we can fill this hall to max capacity? Yeah, you know, there are lots of empty seats, you know, but you know what? Empty seats means there's room for more. Someone say room. You know, there's room for more, and we want to take it as our responsibility to compel people into the presence of God. We want to compel people to Jesus. Come on, if you agree, someone say, uh-huh. You know, so, and tonight, you know, without further ado, you know, we're going to jump in to the Word. We're in this series called Paranormal Activity. How many of you went to watch the movie? Over there, anyone? You are a brave guy, and I salute you for that, because I went to watch Maze Runner, and I was hiding in my jacket like a girl, because of all the zombies. You know, when they turn on the power generator, wait, do you guys watch Maze Runner? When they turn on the generator, all the zombies started coming out. It was the scariest thing ever. I was screaming and shouting in the cinema, and it was awkward. Anyways... it's an awkward night tonight. But it's okay. It's okay. Anyways, so we're in this series called Paranormal Activity. You know, last Saturday, you know, Pastor Joel, you know, shared about what it means, you know, to look to a God who is supernatural. How many of you know that our God is supernatural? Our God is not a normal God. He's not just one of us or whatsoever. He is fully man, and he's fully God, and his name is Jesus. And I want to tell you tonight that Jesus can come and encounter you tonight in a supernatural way. That tonight, if you came in just expecting to stroll in or to roll for a church service or whatsoever, I want to tell you, you got it all wrong. Because whenever Jesus shows up, he is the supernatural power. He can change your life from the inside out. He can break any addictions that you have in your life. He can break anything, you know, that you're struggling in your life, because we serve a God and a King and a risen Savior who is supernatural. Come on, if you agree, someone say yeah. You know, and tonight, you know, I want to share about what it means, you know, to be living out of fear. Someone say fear. Someone say fear. You know, and fear is not just something, you know, that happens in a moment. You know, sometimes we have moments of fear. When I was watching Maze Runner, I had a lot of moments of fear. It was like every minute the devil was trying to attack my mind and whatsoever. I had to pray in the spirit at all times without worry, you know, about everything in prayer and supplication. God is going to deliver me from the zombies. And then I was watching the movie, and I was watching it in East Malaysia, in Sarawak, Miri. Then, as we were walking back to my hotel room, you know, this stupid guy named Ivan Chua, he was my roommate in Miri. Okay, then we were in the elevator up to our hotel room. We were staying on the third floor, whatsoever. Then, we started putting in our car. We pressed third level. Then, the door refused to shut. It closed for a while. Then it started open again. It closed for a while, then it started jerking. I'm like, oh my gosh, is there like a zombie in this hotel? Like, Jesus, come and heal me. Not heal me. Jesus, come and deliver me or save me. Then suddenly, Ivan just turned around. Hey! I'm like, whoa! He's like, chill, bro. I'm like, chill? I'm going to smack you in the face. And then after, he's like, don't worry. Something wrong with the lift. I'm like, I know something is wrong with the lift. Then after, the lift door started working normally. Then we came out of the elevator. Then we were walking to our, it was a really long walk. Like somehow, like our room was so far away from the elevator, I believe it was the work of the devil. After watching Maze Runner, you don't want to walk in a corridor. Like, oh my gosh, I'm like fearing for my life. I thought I was going to die in memory, God. I don't want to die yet. Then we were walking, then suddenly Ivan walks in front and he goes like, ah! I'm like, whoa! He's like, James, I just want to tell you something. You know, whenever I finish watching a movie, I like to pretend that I'm in a movie. I like to put myself in the character of the movie. I'm like, bro, of all characters, you want to be a zombie? Like, and then he's like, I'm like, lame. Then I started slaying him in the spirit, then he got all healed, delivered by Jesus. You know, but see, there are moments of fear in our lives, you know, but fear is not just a moment. And actually, you know what fear is? Fear is a spirit. You know, last week we talked about, you know, there are many spirits in the world, and they are real. It's not just something that we don't want to talk about. That doesn't mean that you don't believe in it. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. You know, there are lots of spirit, you know, and fear is a spirit that so strongly dwell, you know, in our culture, in our world. You know, but how many of you know that God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but he has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind, and that if we are under the presence of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, there is no need to fear anything, because if God is on my side, if the creator of the universe is on my side, if God's love is with me, I have nothing to fear. Amen? You know, and see, the Bible talks about this thing that we cannot serve two masters. You know, you may ask, what does that have to do with the spirit of fear? See, if we constantly live in fear, that means, you know, we are under the influence of the spirit of fear. And the Bible talks about, says that, you know, man cannot serve two masters. You know, if you are under the influence of fear and you always have fear in your life, it means, you know, you are under the influence of fear. And in a way, you are just submitting to whatever fear says, the spirit of fear says, you know, but then that means, you know, your attention is turned away from a God who loves you, from a God who sent his son to die for you on the cross. And when he sent Jesus to die for you on the cross, he sent you a perfect love. He sent you a love without blemish. He sent you a fear without any spot or anything like that. You know why? Because perfect love casts out all fear. See, when you are under the fear of God, not fear of God, you're under the love of God, there is no need to fear, because his love is in you, and his love is here to come and fill any emptiness in your heart, any loneliness, any form of fear or whatsoever. And his love is here to bring you away from the spirit of fear. See, if you always, you know, have moments in your life where you worry about this, you are so stressed up about this, you are feeling overwhelmed by this and that, you're scared you won't do well in the exam, you're scared you don't have a school to go to, you're scared your parents don't want you at home or whatsoever, you know, you are living under the spirit of fear. But here's the thing, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you on the cross so that you can have a spirit of power. You know why? Because Jesus has been given all power and authority to overcome fear, to overcome any spirits in the world. Number two, he has given us a spirit of love, because God is love, so his Holy Spirit is love. You know, and he has given us a sound mind that we don't have to live like we are under fear all the time. We just have to live normally like how God created us to be. And see, he's given us a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. You know, so tonight, you know, I'm going to talk about what it means, you know, to have the spirit of fear. You know, because see, the spirit of fear is not something that is conscious, that we recognize, oh, I'm under the spirit of fear. Or do you have the spirit of fear? Oh, I do. Do you have it? No, it doesn't work that way. It's something that is unconscious going on in the back of our mind, but unknowingly, we kind of live under the spirit of fear. You know, and it is shown in the big and small areas of your life. How about this? If you always have moments of, if you are scared of everything, that kind of means you have the spirit of fear. If you fear, you have the fear of the dark. If you are scared of ghosts and whatsoever, you know, it kind of means, you know, you have the spirit of fear. See, your lifestyle, the decisions that you make reflect on how big the spirit of fear is in your life. See, because as much as Excuse me. As much as the Spirit of God is alive, you know, the spirit of fear is very much alive too, because how many of you know that in the world there's a God and there's a small devil? There's a big God and there is a small little tiny puny devil. You know, and we can allow, you know, the small little tiny puny devil, the spirit of fear to dwell in us, to grow in us, you know, or we can, you know, look to God, the author and finisher of our faith, and if we begin to put on the Spirit of God, see, all this over here can't enter into us. Amen? You know, and see, fear is the reaction towards a particular matter or a situation or a fight in your life. See, but the spirit of fear is our approach towards everything in life. I'm going to say that again. Fear is the reaction. Fear is a reaction. You know, if something happens, we react to it with fear and stuff like that. You know, but the spirit of fear is our approach towards everything in life. See, if you live under the spirit of fear, anything that comes against you in life, it may be something big, it can be something small, it can be something that happens every single day, but your approach to it, you know, is fear. How about this? Maybe you struggle in your studies, you know, maybe you are bad in this subject from the devil called mathematics. Yeah, and then every single day, you know, you kind of dread, you know, mathematics, because you know if you go into the class, you will struggle, you'll not understand, you know, what mathematics is and whatsoever. You know, then every day, you know, you just live under the fear that mathematics is going to be bigger than you. It's going to swallow you, it's going to overwhelm you, whatsoever. See, that's an example of living under the spirit of fear. How about this? Maybe you are scared to go home every night, you know, because maybe you come from a family that doesn't have a good background or whatsoever. You know, you have some family problems at home, and every single day or night after school, you kind of dread, you know, going home because you know that there's something for you to fear, you know, over there, you know, and that's the spirit of fear, you know. But God hasn't designed you, you know, to live under the spirit of fear. You know, in His word in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, you know, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you, plans not to destroy you, but to give you a hope and a future. So God didn't create you to live under fear every single day. God didn't create you to live under this spirit of fear every single day, but God has created you to live a life that's going to be fruitful. God is going to God has created you to live a life that is fulfilling, you know, because He loves you and He wants the best for you. Come on, if someone agrees with that, you say, you know, and here's the thing, you know, the spirit of fear, you know, it brings, number one, superstition. How many of you know what superstition means? Superstition means if you see, you know, a particular offering that is brought by other religions, you're afraid to walk past it or step on it or whatsoever. How about this? When I was young, people told me not to point at the moon. Because if you point at the moon god or whatsoever, the whatsoever will come and cut your ear at night or something like that, and next morning you will wake up with, I don't know, like no one ever actually finished the story for me, so I've always wondered what it means. How about this? What other superstition? You cannot wear black during Chinese New Year, or you cannot break a glass during Chinese New Year, or whatsoever. Or if it's Saturday and Sunday when there is 4D and Toto, you know, you can't break a piece of glass, or like the children can't cry. If not, your ama cannot win lottery. Have you guys heard of that? No. Just my family? Okay. Anyways, you know, that's superstition. Or how about this? The combination of numbers really matters. If your phone number has that 2 numbers, 4, 7 or whatsoever, you know, then you're gonna be destined for death or whatsoever. How about this superstition number two? Stress and anxiety. See, you are always under stress. You always think that there's an expectation on you. You're always trying to strive for more and stuff like that, you know, anxiety, you're always worried, like, what's going to happen, am I going to be alright, am I going to die, blah, 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 you know, just like how you watch Maze Runner and you wonder if you're going to survive through the movie because you're just going to go into a cardiac arrest, like how I was. And number three, emotional distress, you know, you are just bottled down, you know, and weighed down emotionally, you know, there's never a moment in your life where you can actually be happy. How about this, depression? Depression comes from the spirit of fear. You know, because you always wonder, you know, what's next for me in life? You know, there's nothing good for me in life, you know, and stuff like that. You want to die, you want to commit suicide, you think there's no purpose for you on this earth. You know, and see, these are what the spirit of fear brings. And tonight, you know, I'm going to talk about the four signs that you are under the spirit of fear. The four signs that you're under the spirit of fear. Here we go. Number one, your perspective is mostly negative. Your perspective is mostly negative. I want all of us to turn into our Bibles in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. We're going to read almost the whole chapter from verse 1 to verse 33. If you can put it on the screens, you'll be awesome. Okay. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." So Moses sent from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now these were their names from the tribe of Reuben: Shammua, the son of Zechar. From the tribe of Simeon, Shephet, the son of Hori. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Watch me, Nate. From the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. Yeah. From the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu. Interesting names they have back then. How many of you glad you don't have those names? Imagine like, no, I mean like Benjamin is a normal name, okay? It's a cool name. You know, like if you have a name called Rafi, how about like Rafi Gun? Seriously. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gedeo, the son of Zodi. From the tribe of Joseph, that is from the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi Gun? Seriously. From the tribe of Dan, Emil, the son of Gamali. Yeah, next. From the tribe of Ashers, Sether, the son of Michael. From the tribe of, oh my gosh, all the names. Okay, let's go on to the next verse. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. Okay, in short, Moses sent out 12 guys because they had 12 tribes, you know, in the land of Israel, you know, and Moses called Hoshea the son of Nun, Joshua. Next, 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Next. Then they came to the valley of somewhere, and they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they ate frozen grapes. Praise the Lord. And they carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates, and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. Next. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children in Israel. They brought back word to them and to everyone and showed them the fruit of the land. And then they told him, they said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. This is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are very strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it." But the man who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." Next one. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are great men of stature." Then there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. So we were in their sight, And the whole summary of the story is that, Moses began to send out 12 spies. Okay, 12 spies, to spy on the land, that God is saying, this is going to be the promised land that I'm going to give you. So go into the land, see how it's like, give me a report on what you see and whether, what is in there and what we need to prepare to go into the land. And then these 12 spies went inside there, but 10 came back with a bad report. They say, this land is a land filled with milk and honey, but there were giants, there were this, there were zombies, there were blah, blah, blah. There was a ghost inside there and whatsoever. So it's not good for us to go inside there, But two spies named Joshua and Caleb say, Caleb said in one of the finishing verses saying, let's go inside there and take possession, for we will be able to overcome, But the 10 spies begin to say, No, we can't go in at all, and here's the thing, your perspective is mostly negative when you are under the spirit of fear. See, with the words that you say, they are going to be mostly negative. With the approach that you're going to have in your life, it's going to be mostly negative. How about this, if someone asks you, "Hey, how's your life?" "How's your life?" "How is it going?" And "Is your exams okay?" "How's Maze Runner?" "How's McDonald's?" "Oh my gosh." And everything that you're going through, it's negative, your perspective, your outlook on everything is negative. You are unwilling, to go ahead in whatever that you're doing. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that God has called you to whatsoever. It is something that goes on in your life daily. And even if things are going well, or they are going to go well, there will always be a precaution that something will go wrong. How about this? If you are doing well in your exams, for example, you got an A in your test, then your friends are like, "Hey, you did great," and your teacher's like, "Hey, congratulations, you scored the highest in class, you got an A." Then you'd be like, "It's not so easy. The next test, I'm going to fail because I made these mistakes. I'm too careless in all of this." Like, seriously, you're careless to get an A? And then everything in life, there's a precaution that something is going to go wrong. There's this superstition that, that you cannot say that you're doing well in life because the next thing is that's going to happen is going to be it's going to be bad. There's a saying that Singaporeans can't be praised, because if we are praised, then something will happen to us. But that is superstition, and that's living under the spirit of fear. And see, the 10 spies saw the land that was filled with milk and honey, but they chose to focus on the giants that were present in the land. See, God told Moses, this is going to be the land that I'm going to promise you. It's going to be a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And Moses began to send the spies inside there. And the spies, all of them, saw the land flowing with milk and honey, but they chose to look at something that was going to be bad. They didn't focus their minds. God said, it's going to be a land that is going to be flowing with milk and honey. But they begin, to look at the giants over there. They begin to look at those men that were scary. And their report was all about how undefeatable or how unfeasible it was to go into the promised land. Like, we can't go inside there. It's terrible. It's going to be crazy. It's not going to turn out well for us. Your perspective is mostly negative. Number two, the tendency to worry is high. See, the spies, they were worrying and fretting over what they saw. They saw giants, like, "Ah!" They saw zombies, "Ah!" It was everything, they were worrying, they were just filled with worry and fear. And even when they recognized that it was a land that God has promised to them, they worry over whether God really gave them that land or not. You know, and see, you are, how about this? You know, when your tendency to worry is high, you are always overwhelmed and weighed down by your worries and uncertainties that you have built up in your mind. You know, you worry about whether you're going to pass the exam. You worry about if you can get into that school or that course, or if your parents is going to like you, or if your friends are going to accept you, you know, if society is going to handle you or whatsoever. You know, the tendency to worry is always high. How about this? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, it says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." How many of you know that if you are stressed, if you are worrying, it's a good idea to pray? Yeah, you know, and see, tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which surpasses all our understanding. His peace will guide your hearts and minds as you live in Christ and as you put on the Spirit of the living God. That you don't have to worry about everything, but in everything, begin to submit yourself in prayer and supplication. How about this? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to verse 34 in the Message Bible, you know, it says, "If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, you know, mostly which you have never seen, don't you think He will attend to you, take pride in you, do His best for you?" What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving, to His love. People who don't know God and the way He works fusses and worries about everything. But you know both God and how He works. So steep your life in the reality of God, in the initiative of God, in the provision of God. Don't worry about missing out. You will find all your everyday human concerns met in your life. How many of you think that God is a pretty good God? That we don't have to worry about anything in life because God has all of that settled. If we are going through a fight, He has the victory. If we are going through a sickness, He has the healing. If we are going through a circumstance or whatsoever, He's going to help us overcome. Amen? You know, and how about this? The third thing, the spirit of fear is highly contagious. See, when the 10 spies came back with the bad report, immediately the bad report began to spread, and the whole of Israel began to believe their report. See, but Caleb and Joshua came back with a good report, saying, "You know what? Let's go in. God is going to help us. God is on our side. We're going to overcome all the giants and stuff like that, you know." But see, when the 10 people began to come back with a bad report, it was highly contagious. How about this? If you tell your friends they are scared about something, all of them are going to be scared of that. How about this? In secondary school at a camp, I was making up a story. I'm like, "You know what? There is ghosts, you know, on that staircase on the third floor. You know, so don't go there at night, or like the ghost dressed in white stuff is going to come and scare you. It's going to devour you. It's going to kill you." And then immediately, to my surprise, like all my group mates believed that the third floor story was haunted. I'm like, I was just kidding. And no one dared to go up that staircase, and no one dared to go to the toilet that night because we have to pass by that staircase. So in the morning, we're like, "Oh my gosh, I need to go to the toilet because no more ghosts in the morning." And I'm like, seriously? You know, but see, a bad report on the spirit of fear is highly contagious. You know, how about this? The fourth thing, you know, the fourth sign, you know, that shows you that you are under the spirit of fear. It cuts away your faith from the supernatural power of God. It cuts away your faith from the supernatural power of God. See, fear is putting your faith in the obstacle or the giant in front of you. See, the 10 spies, you know, they spied the land, you know, but they begin to put their faith in the giant instead of a God who's going to bring them into the promised land. See, God was going to lead Israel out of captivity from the wilderness into the promised land, you know, but see, instead of putting their faith in a God who has brought them out from Egypt, parted the Red Sea for them, helped them escape, you know, the attacks of Pharaoh, brought them miraculously across Egypt, you know, into the other side. But then now their faith, you know, was focused on the giant. Their faith was focused on what, you know, the big thing was. And see, it cuts away your faith from the supernatural power of God. See, these are the four signs that you're under the spirit of fear. But how many of you know that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, like what I said a moment ago? Come on, if you agree, someone say, "Yeah." And God has made us more than conquerors. He has made us overcomers, that we don't have to live under the spirit of fear. In the Bible, it says we don't have to let evil overwhelm us, but instead overcome evil with good. And what is good? God is good. What is good? The spirit of the living God is good. Amen? And also, here we go. How do we overcome the spirit of fear? Very quickly, 3 points, and we're going to pray. Number one, choose the right voice to listen to. Choose the right voice to listen to. See, are you going to listen to the voice of the spirit of fear, or are you going to listen to the voice of God? See, the spies, they had a choice. If they're going to listen to the voice of God, say, you know what, this is a land that I promised you, this is a land that's flowing with milk and honey, you're going to settle there, this is the promised land that I'm going to give you, or simply begin to tune in to the voice of the spirit of fear, say, you know what, the giants are so big, you can't overcome them. If you go inside there, you know, half the people are going to be killed, the others will be held in captivity. You know, don't go inside there, just stay where you are, you know, and settle, you know, for what's good for you now, and don't take any risk. You know, but the spirit of God says, you know what, I am with you, I am for you, I am not against you. If I'm with you, no one can stand against you, nothing bad can come against you. I have a plan and a future for your life. But the spirit of fear says, you know what, just stay where you are. Don't listen to the voice of God, because God is calling you into something that you don't know what you're getting yourself into. Just stay where you are. But the spirit of the living God says, hey, trust me, I am your helper. I am good. I have everything that I am everything who I say I am, and I'm going to help you in your life. Choose the right voice to listen to. See, start tuning into what God says about you. Start tuning into what God says about you. See, and here's the thing. After hearing God's voice, you have no need to seek a second opinion. You don't have to listen to God over here. Okay, God, what do you have for me? Okay, then you come over here. So what do you think about what the Spirit of God said? You know, you don't have to seek a second opinion about God or the Word of God that is spoken over your life. Choose the right voice to listen to. Secondly, be constantly filled with the Spirit. Be constantly filled with the Spirit. See, when you are full of the Holy Spirit, there is no room in you for other spirits to come and mess with you. See, if I'm full of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, see, and there is a spirit of fear, and he's trying to come into my life, you know, but if I'm full, the spirit of fear has no capacity to fill in my life. How about this? How many of you went to a buffet before? You love buffets? See, when I go to a buffet, I will attack the sashimi first. I will attack the raw food first. After that, I will go for the cooked food, the beef, the lamb shank, the pork, whatever, anything that's edible, I will eat over there. Then, lastly, you know, and it's going to be about 5 hours of eating over there, you know. Then after that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want that dessert over there. I want that creme brulee. I want that, I don't know, shepherd's pie or whatsoever. I want that bread and butter pudding. Oh, seriously. You know, and, but here's the thing. When I walk, you know, to that dessert counter, I'm like, oh my gosh, so full. Like, my stomach is bulging out. I look like I'm pregnant. You know, people are giving me the stare. Are you seriously going to eat some more? Like, stop it, seriously. You know, and then when you're so full, you know, nothing else can come and fill you up. See, if you are full of the Spirit of God in you, you know, the other spirits in the world, it can't fill you up. The spirit of fear can't come in you. The spirit of depression can't come in you. You know why? Because you are full of the Spirit of God. What you are full of is who you are. And what you are full of is what's going to come out of you. And if you have the Spirit of the living God in you and you're full of that, what's going to come out of you is going to be the fruits of the Spirit. You know, love is going to come out of you. Patience is going to come out of you. How about this? Self-control is going to come out of you. You know, trusting, you know, who God is. And here's the thing. Number three, let your faith determine your outlook. As the band comes, let your faith determine your outlook. See, when the 10 spies went out to the land, they went out with two other guys, Caleb and Joshua. And how many of you know that whatever that the 10 spies saw were exactly the same thing that Joshua and Caleb saw? But the 10 spies begin to come in and say, you know what? That land is filled with, yes, it's flowing with milk and honey. It's awesome. There are fruits over there. There are pomegranates. There's frozen grapes. We're going to have a good time. You know, but there are giants over there. They are really big. They are really, really, really big, and we can't conquer it. You know, but what Caleb and Joshua came back to say, you know what? Yes, you know, it's a land filled, you know, with flowing with milk and honey. Yes, there are giants. Yes, there's obstacles inside there before we can settle down. But you know what? Our faith is not in what we see. Our faith is in who God is. See, if he delivered us from Egypt, you know, from the hand of Pharaoh, from the hand that was destroying us, not giving us a future, and as we begin to have faith that, you know what, God is going to deliver out of Egypt, part the Red Sea, you know, something that has never been done before. It was one of the first miracles that the Israelites began to experience. And they say, you know what, by right, their faith was supposed to be built up because they have seen how God provided for them and how God fought for them. But as they begin to come into this place and they say, you know what, I look at the land flowing with milk and honey, but I see the giants over there. No, we can't go there. There was worry. Their perspective was mostly negative. They had a tendency to worry. You know, they begin to spread the spirit of fear in the camp and stuff like that. And see, let your faith determine your outlook. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 to 17, you know, we read that a moment ago, you know, but in the Message Bible, it says, be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help that you can get. Every weapon God has issued so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you will still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them in your life. You will need them throughout your life, in every situation, in every circumstance. You need the Word of God on your life, because the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it never changes. God's Word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare, and we don't fight a battle that is physical. See, if we begin to learn how to pray in the Spirit, if we begin to learn how to war in the Spirit, when it's broken through in the Spirit, it's nothing in the natural. How about this? Because you know what? God puts the super in the natural. And if He's going to overcome the natural, He's going to help you overcome the natural. And you see, in Hebrews 11, verse 1, in the Amplified Version, it says, now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, which is divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen. It is the conviction of their reality. And faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. See, the danger was real. There were real giants. It was not some Lego giants. It was real. It was not something that they saw on the screen in a movie. They were real giants. It was danger. But see, if they begin to put their faith in a God who never fail them, in a God who is with them, and begin to submit their spirits to the Spirit of the living God. See, in them, they may be weak, but in God, we are strong. See, God specializes in your weakness. See, if you feel like you're always worrying about something, you are always scared of something, you're scared of the dark, you're always stressed up about something, you're scared of what's ahead of you, you fear for your future and stuff like that. But how many of you know that God hasn't given you a spirit of fear? He wants to give faith to you so that you can be filled with His faith, to look unto Him, the one that's going to start your faith and the one that's going to end your journey with a victory. See, if you're going through an exam, He's going to give you victory in the exam. If you're going through stress, He's going to give you victory in that circumstance. If you're going through a problem, He's going to give you faith to overcome that problem. And at the end of the day, He'll be victorious and say, you know what, God, my faith is in You, for You will never fail me. See, Caleb had a different outlook on what he saw. See, everyone saw the same thing, but Caleb and Joshua had a different outlook. They had a different perspective of what God can do for them and what God can do through them. See, here's the thing about faith. Faith is not denying the reality of difficulty, but it acknowledges and declares the power of God in the face of your problem. I'm going to say that again. Faith is not denying the reality of the difficulty, but it acknowledges and declares the power of God in the face of the problem. See, the 10 spies, Joshua, Caleb, were standing there looking, spying on that land. They saw a problem. They saw difficulty. But the 10 spies begin to zoom in on the difficulty. They begin to zoom in on what is impossible, on what is difficult, on what is big and gigantic to them. But see, Caleb and Joshua had a different attitude. Even in the face of the problem, they did not deny that it's difficult, but they say, you know what? Let's pick up our faith. Let's pick up our courage. Let's come under the Spirit of the living God. And we have the power to overcome because God is on our side. God is with us, and He is not going to fail us. So young person, if you're going through something in life, you don't need to deny that it's difficult. You don't have to live in denial. But I believe that God can do the supernatural and He can do the impossible in your life. He's going to bring you from here to success. He's going to bring you from fear to faith. He's going to bring you from difficulty to success because the Spirit of the living God is upon us to give us not a spirit of fear, timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Come on, if you believe in that, someone give God a shout of praise tonight. Yeah. Woo. And tonight, you say, you know what? I have no idea why you're talking about spirit of fear, spirit of living God and stuff. And you know what? All of this starts with a relationship with Jesus. Because 2,000 years ago, before you and I were born, God sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die for you and my sins. Because God is holy, God is righteous, and sin can't dwell with God. And all of us, we have done wrong things in our life. There's sin in our life, but God sent Jesus to die for you and my sins so that He can begin to take away my sin, take my place on the cross, forgive me of all my sins, and that I can have a relationship with God. And how can I know that God is on my side? I can only know that if I have a relationship with God. How can I know that I can put my trust in a God who loves me? It comes by a relationship with God. And tonight, if you are here for the very first time, if you don't know Jesus, or if you have been here a million times but you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity tonight. So with every head bowed and every eyes closed,